Please pray with me. Dear kind and righteous Father, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity you have given us this evening as we continue to host this nationwide gospel meeting call. We pray, Lord, for this gospel evangelistic effort, Lord, that many souls hear the message of salvation through your Son, Jesus, that they understand his love for them by giving himself on the cross, that they understand the blood that was shed from his broken body. We pray, Lord, they understand that the tomb was empty and that he did, in fact, build the one true church we read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. We pray, Lord, for those members of the Church of Christ who may have fallen away, Lord, that they be restored by this message, that they understand the continued cleansing power of the blood and the necessity to repent for those transgressions that have caused us to fall away. We pray, Lord, for Brother Jackson, that the things he may declare unto us this evening be the bread of life, that he convey this message in such a way, Lord, that many people hear and understand by good and perfect will, and understand what is necessary for them and for their souls to be saved according to the instructions that you have given us in the Great Commission. We pray, Lord, for the Highland Heights congregation, for their efforts this week, Lord, that you bless us with another opportunity in another week to be able to do and host this nationwide gospel meeting call. We ask this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We started in May, and it has been a tremendous success, and we are just so thankful for the results that we're getting, and so thankful for the brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ who have joined us every night. Many of you have been on every night. You have not missed a night, and we're so thankful that you're supporting the preaching of the gospel in a simple way by many of our great preachers among the brotherhood. To the visitors who are on the call tonight, not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored. You are a distinguished guest of the audience. You are our VIP. We want you to know that we are concerned about our soul salvation, and we want you to know that we're concerned about your soul salvation. But we believe the answer is simply this. It's in the Bible. What the Bible says is what we must do in order to face God on Day of Judgment and to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant, and that we have obeyed the doctrine, the teachings of the scripture, not what man has said, but we are obeying what the Bible said. Tonight, we got a great speaker on tonight in the person of Brother Kenneth Jackson III. He serves at the West Valley Church of Christ. He's a minister there, a good friend of mine, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And tonight, Brother Jackson will speak to us on the subject, the truth about the second death. He's been married 33 years, got three daughters, and such a beautiful family. And Brother Jackson is one I know. If you would take notes, open your Bible, follow along with him. In the end, you'll understand the danger of dying the second death. Brother Jackson, will you tell us the truth about the second death?
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you, Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, for the opportunity to be of service in this nationwide gospel call, a gospel meeting call, that is. It's a true pleasure to be on the call. Because of the subject matter and the length of time and the brevity of the subject, I'll get directly into the lesson. And as Brother Brooks has indicated, I've been asked to speak on the subject, the truth about the second death. The truth about the second death. This passage, or this phrase rather, is found in four specific passages within the New Testament, but the one that we're going to focus on tonight and that we'll launch from in developing our thought process is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through verse number 15. And as we develop our thought process, understand that the Apostle John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he writes these following words. Again, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through verse number 15. The Bible reads, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to, for a moment, help us to understand that the divine word of God is found in Scripture. Has several references with regards to the second death. But what we're going to do in launching this lesson is utilize the concept or in a contrasting form with regards to the second birth. We find in John's Gospel, chapter 3, as we begin to launch into this lesson, verses 3 through verse number 5, the Apostle John writes these words, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to about Nicodemus in particular, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This discourse between Nicodemus and Jesus is one of significance in developing an understanding with regards to the second death. Understand this. The second birth, or to be born again, speaks to two births. Nicodemus's understanding was limited, as is the case today in understanding the truth about the second death. To be born again, being born again teaching moment between the Messiah speaks to two births, one physical and the other spiritual. We are made aware that the fact, made aware of the fact, when the conversation moves from entering into the mother's womb a second time, as stated by Nicodemus. Furthermore, if we were to look at verse number 6 of John's Gospel, chapter 3, we would find these words, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So no doubt the discussion transitions from a physical physical birth to one that is spiritual. It is obvious to this very day that because of spiritual misinformation and in some cases malicious intent, the subject of being born again is being falsely taught, and as a result, many honest and sincere souls are obeying that which is clearly out of harmony or clearly false when looked at through the prism of God's divine word. The subject of salvation through the sinner's prayer, baptism by sprinkling, faith void of scriptural support, even worship in our current context, that it violates the scriptures in various ways, and yet people are suggesting that they have, much like King Saul, have obeyed the commandment of the Lord, which in fact they are in clear violation. First Samuel chapter 15, verses 3 through verse number 22. Listen to what King Saul says in verse number 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Which in fact, when one studies the context, we would understand that he is claiming to have obeyed, but the reality is that he clearly disobeyed God's eternal command. Herein we lay a critical foundation concerning the second death. The reality of being subject to the second death should be terrifying to any and all who truly want to make heaven his or her eternal resting place. There are three major points that we want to speak to on this evening. I want us to be mindful of the fact that there are a great many other elements that we could speak to, but these, I believe, will be sufficient to the subject at hand. As we deal with the understanding of the second death, consider this for a moment. There is the truth about the determination as to who will and who will not be a partaker, a participant, or a recipient of the second death. Number two, the truth about the destination. There is a destination and there is a definitive, absolute truth when it comes to the destination, which addresses the place, the setting, and situation associated with the second death. Number three, the truth about the devastation addresses the significance, importance, and horrible devastation that is completely avoidable. Each of these 3 points speaks to a critical element of understanding of our understanding of what leads up to the second death and the second death itself. Now, the word of significance, as we move into the first point, centers around the idea of the truth about the determination, meaning how is one going to be determined to be a recipient of the second death or not? The word of significance here is the word determination. It is a word that speaks to the act of making or arriving at a decision. It speaks to a decision or the decision that's reached. Furthermore, it is the bringing about of a result or an outcome. So, the question that leaps to the front of the line for our consideration is this: what is the manner in which God will make his determination or his divine determination? What do the scriptures say concerning the process of deciding the fate of the individual soul? By what means and through whom will judgment be rendered and the outcome be determined? The final issue that must be addressed for the sake of addressing the determination centers on the problem facing all humanity, which is sin. Sin is at the crux of the issue. Sin is the core of the problem. Sin is what is going to be considered at the determination point. Sin, by biblical definition, just very limitedly, is defined in at least several passages. But number one, we find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is also knowing to do right and not doing it. James chapter 4 and verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we understand, based on Ezekiel's text in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, what we find is that each individual is subject to his or her own doings. We must understand that we will have to give an account of the things that we have done, whether it be good or bad. The truth about the determination is that we must realize that the New Testament speaks to this issue. Jesus says in John's Gospel chapter 8 in verse number 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. The focal point of the judgment is not goodness, kindness, or service only. The issue at hand is being rejected from the presence of God, paying the penalty for sin personally because of the choices that have been made. A choice that Jesus brings to the surface for our immediate consideration as found in John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse number 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word which I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. Understand this. The determinant factor is, in fact, the standard of judgment. And to determine that, it is not based on feelings, but rather it is found written within the pages of inspiration. The determination is based on the word of God, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. The determination is rendered by the word of God, Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The determination is declared by the Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 1, verse 14, and verse number 17, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, verse 14. Understand, the determination is found in the Word of God, as identified in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse number 39, where we are told to search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The truth about the determination centers on the Scriptures being clear and the second clear concerning the judgment, and specifically the second death. Judgment will be rendered by the Son of God, Jesus. This is an irrefutable fact. The Bible informs us accordingly. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse number 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse numbers 26 and 29 through 29, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So understand that judgment will be rendered by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 15, the Bible says as follows, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So understand that the determination is real, but equally as real is the destination. Herein lies the crux. In transitioning from the determination of who, we must choose now to focus on the where. We must focus on the where. Where is the destination? The scriptural text speaks to where those who find themselves to be the recipients of condemnation will be sent to the lake of fire. The text reads as follows, Revelation 20, verse 13, 14, and 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, in the words of the text, is in fact the second death. The lake of fire is in fact the second death. It is where those who have been found to be missing or absent from the book of life, Revelation 20 and verse number 15, will go. Those who are considered by Jesus to be evildoers, John 5 and verse number 29, they too will go. Whose works are defined as bad, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, they too will go. Who are classified as unjust, according to Acts chapter 24 and verse number 15, they too shall make their way into the lake of fire. Who know not, and here's the kicker, who know not God and obey not the gospel, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, they too will find themselves in this horrible, devastating, and desolate destination that we call, biblically speaking, the lake of fire or the second death. it must be understood that there are three key words important to our understanding. The biblical teaching on the subject of hell, condemnation, and the lake of fire is what's at stake. These three words speak to hell in various contexts, but understand there is one that is at stake right now, and that is the word for eternal damnation. Each word denotes or speaks to a place and condition. The word Hades speaks to where we go when we die immediately. The word Tartarus speaks to the place of torment within the realm called Hades. And then we find the word Gehenna, and Gehenna is referring to the second death. Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through verse number 43, we see these words. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Understand this. The Bible is right. And it speaks to the determination as to where where people will go. The souls of men will reside throughout all of eternity. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 4 and verse number 5, says this, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." The warning has gone out. The forewarning has gone out. I forewarn you of whom you need to be afraid, to fear. Fear him that has the ability to kill and to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. To this point in the study, it should be abundantly clear that the place called hell is real. There are those who, if we could speak to them today, would inform us that hell is in fact true. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse numbers 41 and 46, we see this phrase, or these words. "Then shall he say unto them that are on the left," referring to the goats in the context, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these," verse number 46, "and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting," or into life eternal. Understand that hell was not prepared for you or I. The Bible just told us into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Understand this. It is an everlasting punishment, and the determinant factor, as we get ready to transition into our last point, the determinant factor is the works or the deeds of men and women as viewed through the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ, the New Testament in particular for those of us today. The Bible teaches in James chapter 1, verse number 25, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 21, that there is a law, the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty. We must understand that we are being judged by the word of the New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ. When considered by Jesus to be wicked, unrighteous, unjust, bad, or evil, the destination is the place prepared for the devil and his angels. The destination is not the place prepared for us. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse number 2, we understand Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you. For where I am, there ye may be also." What has been prepared for us is heaven, not hell. We are going to somebody else's home. What a sad state of affairs. What an unnecessary and tragic end of one's life. The fact is that must be magnified when one comes to realize how devastating the second death is. We must understand how devastating the second death is. In dealing with this idea of devastation, understand, number one, we've dealt with the determination. Jesus will be the one to make the determination. Jesus will be the one to make the decision. Jesus is going to be the one to pronounce where we will go. The Bible goes on to say that we need to also understand how devastating this will be. Now, the word devastate means to lay waste. It means to destroy. It means to overwhelm and more. It is a word that comes from a basic understanding of anguish, misery, distress, torture, ruin, ravage, demolish, and to cause trauma. Therefore, when one speaks to the subject of devastation and view of the second death, otherwise known as hell or the lake of fire, one must conclude that the second death will be unnecessarily devastating. By that I mean, we must understand that it is completely avoidable. One does not have to go to hell. It is a decision that we must make. In Jeremiah's account, Jeremiah chapter 6, we find Jeremiah uttering these words, "Stand ye in the ways, see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And when you find it, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says there are various ways available to your journey, and when you're looking, you need to be looking for the good way. There are many that are going away today, a particular direction today, but it is void of the word of God. One must understand that we must go not only the right way, but when we find the right way, we must make a concerted effort to walk that way. We must make a decision to walk that way. We must do like Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We made a decision. You and I must make a decision. If you are on this call tonight and you are absent from being in Christ, you are not in the Lord, you have yet to obey the gospel, you must make a decision tonight. Your eternal destination is dependent upon it. We must comprehend this fact, and we cannot comprehend it any more succinctly than that which is found in Paul's writings to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 1 and verse number 6 through 9. Paul writes these words, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Who are those that are going to be punished with everlasting destruction and be separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? It is those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand this principle. The second death will have no power on some as long as that somebody has done what God would say, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. The second death, hell, or the lake of fire will be devastating to those who, according to the Apostle Paul, know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we look at verse number 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," this is the second death. and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, finally, as we wrap this up, understand there are four specific scriptures that speak to the second death. First, the word of God speaks to those who overcome, which speaks to the idea of victory. Jesus addresses one of the seven churches of Asia Minor, called the Church of Smyrna, as he informs them that they have won the victory, shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 11. As we look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, watch what these words say. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This, or which is the second death. As we conclude, let me just say these final words. We must understand, verse number 11 of Revelation 22, the Bible says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So when we die, that's our condition. And there's no changing after the fact. So therefore, verse number 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The opportunity is yours. The opportunity is before you. The immediate question that follows is simply this. What must I do to avoid the second death? What must I do to be found in God's favor? What must I do to prevent the punishment of eternal damnation? What do the scriptures teach that I must obey to serve God? And it becomes very simple at that point. We must hear the gospel. We must hear that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. We must understand that when hearing this, we must believe it with all of our heart. The Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 7, that you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth shall hear the word of the gospel and believe. We must hear the gospel, and we must also believe the gospel, Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. Understand, we must hear the gospel, and we must believe it with all of our heart. We must believe it to the extent we are willing to repent of our past sins. After Peter had preached the first gospel sermon, in fact, found in the book of Acts, we hear these words, that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both God hath made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered and said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the promise is unto you, and he goes on from there. My point being, we must hear the gospel, we must believe it with all of our heart, and when we have believed it, we have been touched so, our conscience has been pricked, so that we are willing to make whatever changes we need to make, and in doing that, we understand that we must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. Philip is teaching a man from Ethiopia who was on his way back to Ethiopia. He was a religious man, having been in Jerusalem to worship. And on his way back, the eunuch says, after having been taught Jesus, see, here is water. What hindereth me? What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch said, his confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And baptism puts us into Jesus Christ. And we know that because of Galatians chapter 3, and verse 26 and following, and a great many other passages such as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Understand, the choice is yours, but it carries with it significance that you and I must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Because the last thing that you want, I want to do is to be a recipient and be a participant and having not my name in the book of life, because at that point I will find myself cast, thrust, thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. May God bless you. May God keep you. May He keep you real well. At this time, we turn the lesson back over to Brother Brooks and Brother Flander. Thank you again for the opportunity.
And thank you, Brother Jackson. We are very thankful tonight for you certainly making it clear that there's a danger that we all want to avoid, and that is the second death. I don't think anyone on this call listening tonight won't experience the tragedy of the second death, and that is we will lose our souls. And certainly we got a heaven to win and a hell to miss. The truth about the second death, if you die in your sin, you can't go to heaven, my friends. Thank you, Brother Jackson. Thank you so very much for breaking that down to us. To our visitors who are on the call tonight, we want you to be saved. We want to be saved. We got to do it the way God said do it. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you must be baptized, as He's talked about tonight. And upon that obedience to truth, the Lord adds you to the one true church, and that is the Church of Christ. And that's why you're our VIP, because you're not a member of the Church of Christ. But you know what we've done tonight? We took the excuse away. You can't say you didn't know. We've been doing that since May. We want you to know that you must stand before God. When you stand before Him, you can't say you didn't know. Because Brother Jackson did it, along with all of our other speakers. We would encourage you to go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net, HollandHeightsCoc.net, and there you can listen to all the messages about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, about the one church, all the things that you need to know. Can a person pray just to be saved? All those lessons are there. My friends, if you're trying to go to heaven, remember this, that the Bible will always be right over me, your pastor, your reverend, your father, whoever it is. God's word will always be the right answer. We encourage you to study. We encourage you to get on the calls. We encourage you to go to our website. If you want online Bible studies, just go to HollandHeightsCoc.net. There you can find the recorded sermons. You can also go to more online studies that you can have, where you can say, you can study, and we'll have a teacher. They will respond to your questions. If you on the call now, you want to get baptized, get back with the person who put you on the call, and they will get in touch with us. Or if you want to call out, reach out to me, or you want to reach out to Brother Jackson, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We'll make arrangements for your baptism. We'll make arrangements for further Bible studies. We'll get you in touch with Brother Jackson or any of the speakers that you have questions about. If you give us a Bible answer question, we will give you a Bible answer. We are so thankful to have you on our call. We pray that you tonight can receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And you can understand what we are doing is speaking the truth in love. Thank you for allowing us to bring a sound doctrine preacher, a Bible preacher, into your home from 9 to 9:30. We thank you so much. Next week, you don't want to mix next week lineup. We got Brother Norman Spann from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, talking about the truth about how to avoid the torment after death. And following him, Brother Nathan Franson from Citrus Heights, California. He'll talk about the truth about the wages of sin. And then Brother Thomas Foster, my teacher, my mentor, Michael Jordan, the preachers. He's from Houston, the truth about the power of the cross. You don't want to miss this. And then Thursday night, Brother Glenn Colley, we had his father on, Gary Colley, last month, and his son is coming on, the truth about the seed. I see you must be playing again Friday night, closing out. Brother Keith Mosier, senior from South Haven, Mississippi, will talk about the truth about the precious blood of the Lamb. And July, as Brother Flunder has said, will be a tremendous month of multiple speakers and a lot of different basic messages on salvation that you would need to hear. Stay tuned. Stay with us. Let's go through the end of the month. Make it your commitment to go through the end of July. We love you all. Thank you so very much for listening. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for our brother Jackson. Thank you for the simplicity of the message. Lord, we want to avoid a second death. We pray for our listening audience tonight that they have listened carefully. They've been attentive. They've taken notes. They will respond in obedience to your will and your commands. Be with our visitors. Help them to know that we love them. Lord, we pray that they obey as we have done. Many of us in the churches of Christ did not know these basic truths, but we obey. Thank you for allowing us to go into their homes via their telephone in a non-intrusive way to teach the simple truth according to your will. And Father, we know, as COVID-19 is pointing out to us, death is coming. We pray for our friends, family, and loved ones, co-workers, and those who are listening, that they will obey the gospel before it's everlasting and eternally too late. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is my prayer, my hope, that you all have a pleasant and a peaceful night rest. But don't let this stuff, this what we're teaching you, leave your thoughts. Take it serious and obey. May God bless you. We love you. Good night.